and the preacher gets up to preach, I expect him to preach truth to me. Don't you? I want to hear the truth. I don't want to hear a lot of nonsense. I want to know what the truth is. And you know, we are saturated with truth, and sometimes it is so, there is so much that's here, we don't see it. It's like we're not seeing the forest for the trees. We're surrounded. We have this book. It's so full of truth. And I think it's high time for truth. Our scripture said in 2 Timothy, if we would go there and look at that again. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right? So what we need to hear today is truth. Now, if you hear the truth today, what's expected of you? Apply it. Apply it to yourself personally. Take it to yourself. And if the shoe fits. Now let's read Hebrews chapter 11. Could you turn to the book of Hebrews? And chapter 11. Let's look at some truth here. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's look at that. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Wow. Substance, something you can get a hold of, something you can see, something you can feel. Faith makes it real. For it, by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is the key that unlocks all the treasures of heaven. Verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things that are seen were made, not made of things which are visible. Everything you see is a result of faith. Some of it might be our own, but most of it's been somebody else's faith. Listen to this. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. When Abel offered his lamb, firstlings of his flock, he did something by faith. It was an act of faith. That was why his offering was acceptable in the sight of God, because he did it because God instructed him to do it. He did it according to as God's instruction. And when you listen to what God instructs you to do and you do it, you are acting upon faith. Now, he offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, but Cain's wasn't. Because Cain said, I'm going to do it my way. That should be good enough for God. And there's a lot of people out there that think the same way. Well, I think I need to go to church. I do. I need to go to church. I got to go to church. Have to go to church. Never know what's going to happen in church. Looking for things to happen. Looking for miracles to happen. Because isn't Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever? So whatever he did in the past, he can do today. I'm always looking forward for something special to happen. By faith, Enoch was translated. Now, that doesn't mean that his speech was changed from one form to another. That means he was literally taken out of this world, translated, so that he did not see death. And Enoch was the type of the church. He was a real person, and this really happened to him. But he also, one day, we will be translated. That's what we're looking forward to. Now, a lot of us, maybe most of us, might die before that happens. But there might be somebody sitting here today that will be alive when Jesus comes, and they will be taken up into heaven. Because it says that the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain will be caught up to meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So, whatever happened to Enoch is possible for us. Why? By faith. He was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. You know, faith is a wonderful thing. You know, there's other great truths in the Bible. Let's just look at this one today. Let's look into faith and see what we can get if we only dare believe. Without faith, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. Impossible. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. Moses had a little bit of a problem because he wanted to know who God was. What's your name? And God said, I am. That's all you need to know. I am. And what does that say? I always have been, I am now, and I always shall be. You don't need to know what his name is. You just need to know him and trust him. Oh, he gave himself a name. He said, you shall call his name Jesus. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You can call him all those names. You can call him the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And it's still, I am. I am that I am. That's truth. All these things come to us by faith because, first of all, we must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. These are the basics of faith. If you want to have faith, let me tell you something that you may not realize. You already have faith. You just need to use what God has already given you. If you use the little bit of faith you have, he will increase it. And then you use that and he'll give you more. And you use that, and you give you more. It's like love. The more you give out, the more you get. Don't be looking for love. Give love. Love will come to you. Some people are waiting for something to happen. And they're waiting, and they're waiting, and they're waiting. But what are they doing? For faith without works is dead. You've got to act on what faith you have in order to see results. Some people think that's wishful thinking, that's believing in myths and fairy tales, and you can believe in the tooth fairy, and if you believe strong enough, well, no, that's not the same thing because the tooth fairy is not going to answer my prayers. And Santa Claus isn't going to either. And the Easter Bunny's not. You've got to have faith in the right thing. How are you going to know? Well, try it. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, he took this by faith, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Now that's the most important thing. Save your household. Get your household saved first. By the which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness which is according to faith. Now we believe in righteousness by faith. This is one of the cornerstones of our church, is righteousness by faith. Because you only get righteousness by faith. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would afterward receive as an inheritance, And he went out not knowing where he was going. Isn't that what faith is all about? God sends you into an unfamiliar territory. He says, I want you to go here to... And, you know, and sometimes we miss out on it because we refused to do it. Somebody was talking about jumping out of an aeroplane. I would only jump out of an aeroplane, I think, if the plane was going to crash anyway. But other than that, that plane's not going to crash. I'm not getting out. I'm not talking about jumping and taking a bungee cord. You know, taking that leap and doing that, and down at the Myrtle Beach, they used to have one of those things. You paid $25 to do it. I said, you couldn't pay me to do it. You know, you couldn't pay me enough money to jump off a thing with a bungee cord. That's not faith. That's foolishness. But I think the great tightrope walker, Mr. Blondin, who used to walk a tightrope across the Niagara Falls, had faith down to a science. Because he said to a crowd one day, just before he got on and was going to push a wheelbarrow across the Niagara Falls on that thin little wire, he says, who believes that I can take this wheelbarrow and wheel that across that thin wire to the other side? And one man said, I think you can do it. He says, get in the wheelbarrow. That's the test of faith. If you say something and you say you believe it, you better believe it. You better be able to live for it and do it. I bet that fella wished he'd kept his big mouth shut. Yes, if you believe what God says in His Word, then step out in faith and do it. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And he says, by faith he sojourned, Abraham, in the land of promise. He walked around in the land of promise. It's just like it was a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now he was told you were gonna your descendants, your children and your children's children and grandchildren and all these people, you're gonna have a great multitude of people come out of your loins, and he said they're gonna inherit this land. But what God was telling Abraham was not so much that Canaan was going to be his land, but the whole world was going to be Abraham's. And one day, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth and a city whose builder and maker is God. Come down and Abraham will be finally in the land of promise with Isaac and Jacob and Jean and Gloria and Lee. Yes. That's faith. We believe that. We believe that one day Jesus is going to come. The trumpet's going to sound and we're all going to, away we go. And that's the hope of the church. The resurrection is the hope of the church. Some people say, oh no, when I die I just immediately go to heaven. No, you don't. The resurrection is the hope of the church. Why would we need to be resurrected if we have to go immediately into heaven when we die? There'd be no need of a resurrection, would there? If I'm in heaven, I don't want to be interrupted. So the hope of the church is by faith. We're looking for a city that has foundations whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now she laughed when she first heard it. And Isaac means laughter. She thought it was a joke. Really? And the angel said, you laughed. She said, oh no, I didn't. And oh yes, you did. But it's going to be true. You are going to bear a son and you shall call his name Isaac. Yes. And therefore from one man and him as good as dead, that's what it says here, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude. innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We are strangers and pilgrims on the earth still. This world is not our home. We just are passing through. And it isn't so much the destination as how important the journey is now. Where are you in your spiritual journey with God? Do you have faith that He's going to be able to take you all the way through? Has He got the capability? Do you really believe in the power of God? Do you believe the promises of God? Do you believe that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. If any man enter in by any other way, he is a thief and a robber. Do you believe that Jesus is the only way? Yes, He is, whether you believe it or not. Oh, yes. The truth does not depend on whether I believe it or not. It is the truth. Now, the Jews sought to kill Jesus. All through His ministry, they disagreed with Him. They didn't like His way. He blasphemed, claiming to be equal with God. Well, it's not bragging if you can do it. He backed what He said with His works. He says, if you don't believe me, believe the works I do. You don't have to believe me. The Father believes in me. The Father backs me up. I am come in my Father's name, and you believe me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will believe. Isn't that the way it is? We believe any other sound but the truth sometimes. And he said, God was his Father. They accused him of Sabbath breaking. They said God was... He said God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Did he break the Sabbath? Did Jesus break the Sabbath? He certainly did not. Not according to God's law. Yes, according to the traditions of the Jews. This is truth, folks. This is truth. It all comes by faith. Do you believe the words that Jesus said? Do you believe Jesus really did raise from the dead? That rhymes. But it's the truth nonetheless. He rose from the dead. He can back up what He said. One of the most amazing things to me when I first gave my heart to the Lord way back 40-some-odd years ago, I came to the realization that Jesus was real, that it wasn't just a story. First, I thought it was a lovely story and I really would like to believe it. And that's where faith starts, with the want to. You got to want to. First, you got to have the want to all the way through your Christian journey. If you don't have the want to, why would you? You got to have something inside stirring you and giving you motivation. The motivation is that Jesus is real. He's alive. He rose from the dead. I believe that. Now, I wasn't there. I didn't see Him come out of the tomb, but I heard the story. I believe the story, and it became real to me because Jesus came and lived in my heart, and He's been in my heart ever since. And He's been working on me, and He's had a tough time with me because I'm getting better and better at mistakes. I got mistakes perfected. I don't think I have them cornered, but I do have them perfected. I'm sure a few of you make a few of them. But the older I get, the more I feel like I'm making more and more mistakes. How could I possibly be making more and more? I should be making less and less. Oh, well. You got to get adventurous in your Christian walk. You've got to dare to believe and you got to dare to do. Because without the dare to believe and the dare to do, you'll never do anything. Nothing will get done. Most people my age are gearing down for the grave. Oh, my brothers are. I'm sorry to say so. They're retiring. Retiring? What do you do when you retire? Sit around and wait to die. Sorry, it's the truth. A lot of people, when they retire, they just sit around and wait to die. Or they keep busy. Now, you can retire from work but still keep busy and volunteer and get involved in people's lives and go and visit nursing homes and help people out and be a cheer and be a hope and work in the church, and you can keep so busy that you think you'd never retired. Isn't that right? But you got to have the want to. You've got to have the desire. You've got to have faith. You got to believe that He is able to take you through. And by faith, you can do anything. You're not too old. You're not too young. Now, I know he's rough around the edges, but he's trying his best. Our little guy, I'm proud of him. He makes some doozies and mistakes, but God love him. He's trying. And I see people in here that are 20 years older than me, and they've got it together. And I say, thank the Lord, I have something to look forward to. There's somebody that I can follow, their example. They are so alive for their age. And then there are folks that you just got to keep kicking at them to keep them going, because they have no motivation. Now, by faith, and it says here, all these died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Strangers! Now, I know our sister here says she doesn't know a stranger. There's nobody strange. They're all brothers and sisters. But on this earth, we are the strangest sight that the world has ever seen. How could we possibly be happy and do without all the things that they are having so much obsession over? The world is obsessed with itself and things. But I am obsessed and possessed with a desire to excel in the things of God. And no matter how much I bungle and make mistakes and how I am rough around the edges, my heart is perfect before God. You can have a perfect heart before God, whether your life is perfect, whether you perform perfect. That's not the point. But you can have a perfect heart toward God. For David was not a perfect individual, but his heart, God, what did he is a man after God's own heart? You've got to be after God's heart. You've got to be, what, as the deer, or as the hart panteth for the water brooks, so panteth my soul after the things of God. I want to understand this book. We just about finished the Bible story books. We're at the last one. And I said to Marcus the other day, well, we're going to have to start them all over again. He said, oh, really? And I said, yes. Because no matter how many times you read these stories, you can read them again. And you're going to read them again. You're going to read them again. I tried to figure out one time how many times I've actually read this Bible. On average, 3 times a year since 1969. And I haven't found the end of it yet. And I'm never tired of it, because it's just exciting. Because every time you go into it, you find something new. Something just for you. And you accept it by faith and you grow. Isn't that the wonderful thing about coming to church, when you can come and you find a new truth and you can begin to apply it in your life? Now, sometimes that new truth is something ugly about yourself that you've got to change. Oh, yeah. I just need to look in the mirror and I see lots of things I'd like to change, a lot of things I can't change, but there are some things that I better change. Because Jesus is going to arrive on the scene and I got to be ready. And so do you. And so do your neighbors and friends. And that's why we talk about evangelism around here. We need to tell what we know so that it can expand and grow. Oh, I'm being poetic today and I don't even know about it. It's just coming out. Because it's faith that causes things to happen. And they're caused by human action. Because faith is an action word, not a passive word. And anybody that thinks that you can believe and get to heaven is deceiving themselves if that belief is not followed by actions. People say you can't keep the Ten Commandments. It's impossible. Yeah, it's impossible if you try to keep them without faith. But if you are saved and you know it, live like it. And if you keep the commandments, don't keep them to be saved, keep them because you are saved. That's not legalism, folks. If people accuse you of being legalist because you say you keep the commandments, you say, no, I am not. I keep the commandments because I am saved, not to be saved. That is a big difference there, folks. People are always looking for a loophole to get out of keeping the commandments. They'll squirm and squirm and squirm. They say, oh, no, you don't need to. No, it's a delight to keep the commandments. Don't be picking through the commandments and finding the ones you don't like and say, well, I don't have to do it because it was nailed to the cross. No commandments were nailed to the cross. Ordinances were nailed to the cross. We do not have to sacrifice a sheep here this morning, do we, for our sins? There's been a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. We don't have to do that anymore. But we still keep His commandments because we love Him. If you love me, He said, keep my commandments. And we keep them by faith. I'll leave that. That's a good thought to end on. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank You for the little bit of faith that You've given us. Oh, it's been the basis of so many wonderful discoveries. Lord, I don't even begin to know and understand. Yet there is a little flicker of hope for me that as the faith grows, the experience grows, and our relationship grows, and we become more and more like You. Oh, it's my goal, and it's my goal for these people this morning, that they become like You, that they receive victory, that they receive a fullness of the Holy Spirit, that the Father and the Son could dwell in harmony in my heart, in their hearts, and that this church could grow and prosper in harmony with the temples cleansed from within and changing from without, that we might bear fruit and that people might come and receive the truth gently and faithfully administered by Your people. In Jesus' name, amen.